Spring is in the air, and it's the season for growth and new experiences in your career. Explore the country with rewarding travel assignments through Arias Medical Group. Know a PT? Make a referral and earn up to $1,000. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit ariusmedical.com. That's A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com.
The radio brings into the home, the schoolroom, the hospital, and news of world events.
We're going old school.
This is Throwback Thursday. Digging up something from the past.
Dusting it off and making it new again.
Throwback Thursday.
On PT Pintcast.
On Throwback Thursday this week, we talked to Nick Ballinger. Nick, a senior at George Mason University, who suffered a spinal cord injury while playing in the surf in Hawaii on his 18th birthday. He went through several levels of the physical therapy system, from acute to inpatient to outpatient, to eventually working with a current DPT student to recover. He tells us how to be a good PT student and PT, and he's got an interesting take on how to look at spinal cord PT, fuck the book, and sums up the APTA's current media strategy, Choose PT, in one sentence.
This is the PT Pintcast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer, bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pintcast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
All right, the next episode of the PT Pintcast starts right now. I want to thank everybody who's been listening and following us on Twitter at PT Pintcast. Make sure you check out the blog component of the website, ptpintcast.com. We have some information about each episode uploaded as a chaser. Information online at ptpintcast.com. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. A right-handed reliever for Lake Braddock Secondary School, the 2012 state champs from the state of Virginia. A senior at George Mason University, an avid Nationals and Redskins fan. You like that? Loves golf and fishing, driving a truck, and good food. Currently an intern at the State Department in Washington, D.C. Public speaking is what he's been picked up recently, and the 2014 Victory Award recipient and the 2016 APTA National Conference at the next convention just went down in Nashville. Keynote speaker. Welcome to the PT Pintcast, Nick Ballinger. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks for having me. Great introduction.
Good introduction. You like that? You like that?
Well done.
There we go. So you spoke at the next convention, and there were a few thousand PTs and PTAs in attendance there. But the first question is always the hardest. So what are we drinking tonight?
Well, I turned 21 in 1 month.
My first guest who has not been of legal drinking age.
Yeah, you know, we're keeping it responsible.
Keep it responsible.
I'll be drinking a lemonade tonight.
Lemonade tonight.
Made by young Jimmy over here.
Uh-huh. I'm going with the Sweetwater 420 Extra Pale Ale.
You know, I've heard that's good. I've heard
it's
that's
a
pretty
tasty
good.
Beverage. Yeah. I will buy you one in 1 month. When is your birthday?
July 31st.
July 31st. All right, so here's the deal. After the story, you're going to want to follow Nick on Twitter, at NickBAL05, and you're going to say happy birthday on July 31st. You're going to tweet at him happy birthday at NickBAL05 on Twitter. So, all right, so senior at George Mason, what are we studying?
I'm studying global affairs.
And what does that mean? Government-y?
It's an interdisciplinary study at George Mason, so there's a lot of different sociology classes. I take government classes, I take history classes, I take economics classes. They all kind of meld together into this umbrella of what we call global affairs, and it's really relevant to what I enjoy and what I like to look at and what I like to read. And
government politics sort of stuff? Okay.
Yeah. My job now, like my State Department internship that I'm in right now.
So what kind of stuff are you doing? Spy stuff? Secret stuff you can't talk about?
You know, I mean,
Area 51?
I want to tell you, but
you have to kill me.
I'd have to kill you. Exactly. Right. You know how the saying goes.
I do. I like that. So keynote speaker next. So first I just want to hear how your experience was.
Okay.
It was in Nashville, Music City, good town. Always a party, always a live band at every bar in town. Your first time in Nashville going for next?
First time in Nashville.
Oh, man. And the APTA says, hey, Nick, I want you to come down there. I want you to entertain the crowd. But first, come down here and go out in town.
Yeah. They asked me to come give this keynote speech at their opening conference.
Right.
And I thought about it for about half a second.
Yeah. You say yes.
And I said yes immediately. about 2 weeks later, it just happened to be, or I just happened to find out that it was during the CMA Country Music Awards
Festival. So,
so I was like, hell yes. Got to see some cool country music performances. Got to go to some cool arenas and the Opryland.
Everything and, down there is just music. Music.
All the country music stars come from there and live there still. I've just heard Brad Paisley walking down Broadway.
So overall, the next conference, when they bring it down there, it's a good time, but I want to talk about what it's like to talk in front of a few thousand physical therapists. So do you want to talk about that, or do you want to talk about what got you there? This is you. You're in charge. You've done public speaking before, so I'm not going to tell you how to how do you usually, because you've told your story, I'm going to guess, hundreds of times. You know, you've been in the Washington Post, and we'll put the link to that story on the website. You've been in the Washington Post, featured there, and they've told your story. But how do you start your story, or I should say, where or when do you start your story?
For the purposes of this interview, I say we start my story at my injury, right?
Start
this
off.
Is a PT podcast. So,
audience is primarily PTs.
Although, like, I would like to say that obviously my injury does not define me. I've done a lot in my life. I've experienced a lot, and then, but this injury is really life-changing. And really puts life in a different perspective from what you used to view it as. And I would say I'm a different person because of it. Like I said in my speech at the conference, 4 years ago, it seemed like I was living a completely different life. But what got me into public speaking was I had such great people in my life, such a great community, such great friends, such great family, my physical therapist, my doctors. I mean, it almost felt like I was obligated to tell my story. And just the fact that I was able to overcome what I was told I would not be able to. I mean, I was sitting in the hospital and I asked my doctor if I'd ever walk again. Like every doctor, he said, "Oh, you never know, blah, blah, blah. Every injury is different." All I heard was, "No, you're never going to walk again." I looked it up. I saw C4, C5 injury, always in a wheelchair. I mean, it's very rare that you get someone with that high level of an injury not be walking. So I kind of dwelled on that for a while. But once I moved my leg, once I was in that hospital bed and I moved my leg for the first time, which I just sat there and sat there day in, day out, just trying to send something down, trying to get something going. And that first time it happened, I was like, holy shit. This doesn't always happen, and I'm not going to waste this. I'm going to work with it. I'm going to go with it, and I'm going to see how far I can take it.
Were you alone in the room?
I was.
So you're by yourself. You're staring at your leg. You're willing it to move. You're saying, I'm going to use everything I've got to move this leg.
Yeah.
And then...
And I'd been doing that for 2 weeks, right? So I don't expect it to move.
Right. How much did it move?
Like a centimeter,
but enough that you maybe. Definitely knew it moved, or you're like, maybe I thought it, like, well, you definitely knew it moved.
I definitely knew it moved, but I didn't know if it was me that moved it. You know, it could have been like
shifted
a spasm
or a spasm. Right. Okay.
I couldn't do it every time I tried, but then like the next day, I got to be able to do it every other time I tried, and then the next day, I got to move my legs every time I tried it, but it was exhausting, you know?
Right.
I mean, just twitching my leg was like doing a 300-pound squat before I got it, you know?
Wow.
Once that happened, I realized, man, this is an opportunity.
What'd they say? Like, you know, did you start screaming? Did you press the button with the nurse to come in? Hey, come look at this.
No, I called my mom to come in.
There you go. Mom's numero uno.
And I was like, Mom, look at my leg. And I said this in my speech, so it's kind of redundant. But
yeah,
but like,
a lot of these people listening to this podcast, because we go 79 different countries, haven't heard it.
Okay.
And your story is great.
Yeah.
So I just want to preface this by saying you had worked with my roommate, my PT school roommate, who wound up bailing on me and going to do his clinical rotation in Colorado. Thanks, David. David Fathlacani. And you and David had done some PT work together, and that's how we had gotten connected. And I remember him mentioning, hey, remember that guy Nick I always used to talk about? I'm like, yeah. He's like, give me the keynote at Next. I'm like, that kid needs to come over and hang out in our backyard and get on this podcast.
Yeah.
So that's how we had gotten connected.
You want to hear how I met David?
Yeah, I want to hear that story.
So when I got out of the hospital, there's not much to do when you get out of the hospital, and that's a real problem that I see in the physical therapy community, is that once you get out of the hospital, it's kind of like, you know, you're out on your own. You know, insurance is done paying for you. What are you gonna do? You really gotta work hard, and you gotta make connections to try to find those people that you can work out with and help heal and get better. So I went on Craigslist, like any normal person
would
do.
Find good stuff on there. And creepy stuff, but also good stuff.
Yep, also good stuff. So I went on Craigslist looking for a personal trainer, you know?
Okay.
Because, you didn't want to pay full price for a PT, no. Obviously.
Go Craigslist.
If you knew my dad, you would know he didn't want to pay out of pocket for a PT. So we went on Craigslist and we saw...
Did you put an ad up or you're looking for an ad?
We put an ad up, but David also put an ad up to train high school baseball players.
Right. Make some cash while he's in PT school. Because we got to tell David's backstory now. David was a pitcher for Ohio State.
Mm.
Go Bucks. Go Buckeyes.
Nah, don't go Bucks.
Yeah, but he would kill me if I didn't say that. I lived with him for 3 years. He would kill me.
Yeah.
So he was looking to work with baseball players. You were looking for someone to continue your therapy out of the hospital.
Yeah.
You were a baseball player. Mm. David was a baseball player. It seems like it fits.
Yeah, I mean...
And David works for cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's gonna work for cheap.
You know, if you're on Craigslist, you can't be charging top dollar on this.
Bingo. Ad is free.
All the stars just freaking aligned, and we were like, my dad just told him my story. David came over, and we talked with him. He was like, yeah, man, I'd love to work with you. And I didn't know at the time, but just recently he told me he went home, and he was scared shitless because he had no idea... Can I curse on this?
Yes.
Okay.
Please do.
Yeah, he was scared shitless because he was like, holy shit, I don't know anything about neuro.
What year was this?
He was the first year.
Oh, okay. So we're in PT school first year.
Yeah.
We don't take neuro until third year.
Yeah, and when we contacted him, we didn't even know he was a PT student.
Oh,
we
okay.
didn't even know
you
that
just he saw was, he was training baseball.
Yeah. A big lesson that I sort of get from this story is that, you know, sort of step out of your comfort zone, right? David had never worked with someone with a spinal cord injury. He was a first year physical therapy student. He didn't know anything about it, but you know, he sort of took up the reins and was like, you know what? I'm going to help this guy out. I'm going to try my best at it. I think I can help him. Why not? I'll learn something. He'll learn something. Well, right.
And I'll say this about David, just because I was his roommate for 3 years. He's the kind of guy who will do that. He's very stoic. You agree with me on that? Like,
yeah, he's a goober.
Would you say goober?
He's a goober.
We just met an hour ago. We're in my backyard right now in Arlington. Would you say David and I are complete opposites? Like, I don't stop talking, and it's hard to get a word out of David every once in a while.
Yeah,
David's this big and strong, muscly guy, and I'm just, you know, just kind of the guy in the corner, just not stop talking. But he's the kind of guy where if he's going to do something, he just goes and he researches the hell out of it. So my guess is he found out about your condition, decided he was going to do it, was probably scared shitless.
Yeah.
He hit the books right away and said, what can I do? What can I do?
Mm-hmm.
But that is a good lesson. Step out of that comfort zone, and you find something cool because you guys have been friends for 3 years now.
Yeah, and it was kind of a, you know, learn as you go thing. He was kind of feeling out the situation. I was kind of learning what we could do, where we could go with exercise and physical therapy and weightlifting. And, you know, we kind of found this sort of happy medium and been good friends since.
What was it like the first time you guys worked together? He didn't confess he was scared shitless the first time he met with you.
He confessed that later. Like, last week.
Gotcha. Okay, good. Good, yeah. Good, good. Because he was actually down there in Nashville when you were giving your keynote address.
Yeah, he was doing a presentation on dry needling for baseball players.
Yeah. So if there's anybody out there in research, because I can't bring up my roommate and not try to help him out a little bit. Yeah. If there's anybody out there in the PT community, you can hit me online at ptpinecast.com. David wants to expand this. Did he talk to you about the dry needling study? Using dry needling to kind of help baseball players. He wants to do a study. So if that's interesting to someone, make sure you reach out. So that's what he was doing. He was there with a poster presentation. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, I know the guy and have worked with the guy who's now going to give the badass keynote address, which is kind of cool. So you guys worked together. How far did you come from first? And now we're in our third year. So just a couple of years. How far did you come from when you met till now?
When I first met David shortly after the hospital, I was still in a wheelchair most of the time. Probably 95% of the time, 90% of the time. We worked out together for about a year and a half. During this time, I was also working in outpatient therapy at NRH.
Okay.
By the time we stopped working out, once I started working out at the George Mason Rehab Science Program, I was using the wheelchair not even half the time.
Okay.
You know, I mean, the progressions that I went through working with him and working with my physical therapist, it's...
Do you remember who your physical therapist? We can name drop.
Of course. I'll never forget my physical therapist.
There you go. Good.
They were essential to not only my recovery, but I like to think who I am, you know? Like, they're really cool people, like most physical therapists. I love physical therapists. And that's why I was so excited to speak at the next conference, because they're some of my favorite people in the world. If I can impart what I've learned from them and sort of let them know how important their job is, how life-changing their job is, it almost feels like I'm obligated to do that, you know?
And so who are they? Name drop, by all means.
So my inpatient physical therapist was Lauren Russell.
Okay.
And
this is at NRH?
Yeah, NRH. I was there at NRH, so I was in Hawaii for three... I got injured in Hawaii.
We'll tell that story.
Okay, so I was born in Hawaii. I hadn't been back since I left the island when I was 2 years old. So 15 years later, I'm almost 17 years old, and we're going on a family trip, 10-day vacation, staying at the Four Seasons in Hawaii, three different islands. Day one, I decide I'll go take a little swim. So go out into the ocean, my dad and I, and I dive in head first. And I guess just misjudge the depth of the water. Maybe there was a sandbar there. I don't know. It's kind of blurry, you know, as you would expect. Mm-hmm. But dove in, hit my head on the ocean floor, and dislocated my C4, C5. My dad, who's out in the ocean with me, pulled me out of the water, saved my life, pulled me onto the beach, and I kind of blacked out from there and woke up in a hospital bed. In Maui Memorial Hospital, the hospital that I was born in.
Wow.
17 years earlier.
Wow.
I woke up and they were like, Nicholas Ballinger? I was like, yeah. And they were like, okay, we seem to have your records here from when you were freaking born.
Right.
And I was like, what's going on? So, sort of floating in and out of consciousness there due to the medication and surgeries and lots of shit going on. So I had a physical therapist and an occupational therapist while I was there, Nicole and Therese. Awesome ladies. Still talk to them today. Then after 3 weeks, I left. And when I left Maui, I could move my biceps, not my triceps. Right. So I could punch myself in the face, but not get my arm back down. And I could twitch both of my legs a little bit, like bring my knees closer together. That's it. Nothing else. I get to NRH. Terrible flight. 14-hour flight in a Airbus. What was it called? Like a airplane ambulance.
Where do you fly to? Direct? I mean, you fly from Maui to... I mean, you gotta connect.
We had two stops, and we had to switch planes on one of the stops.
Of course you do.
So I'm lying on this freaking hard-ass board, and they're, like, transferring me from plane to plane. I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. So we get to NRH, and there's 200-300 of my classmates sitting outside NRH.
Oh, dude.
Holding, awesome. Like, signs, like, hey, Nick, what's up, blah, blah, get better, we miss you, blah, blah, blah. And,
so they're lining the hallways? So they're waiting for you to come back to Northern Virginia?
Like, the street leading into the hospital.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, so then I was at NRH for 2.5 months. When I was inpatient, I had the most amazing physical therapist, Lauren Russell.
Why is she great? Because I want to know, because I could be in PT for the next 50 years,
okay,
and I'm not going to ever walk in your shoes.
Yeah.
What makes a good physical therapist a good physical therapist?
I think what makes a good physical therapist is empathy. But then again, to not let that empathy overtake your judgment on how hard to push someone, right? She knew exactly how hard I could push myself, and she knew that she could push me a little farther than I knew I could push myself, and she did that every day. I threw up every single session for 2.5 months with her.
Wow.
Every single session. I'm not even kidding. Every time she came into my room to go to physical
because
therapy.
Because you worked that hard.
She brought a bucket. Yes.
Wow.
If she said, do 10 reps, I was like, fuck it, Lauren. We're doing 12. I was in the zone. I was a man on a mission. I was not going to spoil my chance to walk again.
Yeah.
And I'd say about 2 weeks in, she told me I would be able to do that.
Okay.
She said, I asked her, you think I'm going to walk again? And she was the first person to tell me that I would walk again. And that moment is like ingrained in my head so strongly. You know, like how you have those core memories. I'll always remember sitting in my hospital bed and just her saying, yes, you will walk again. And 3 weeks later, I took my first steps.
Wow.
I walked probably 10 steps. You know, and but
big
it was
10 steps.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was rough steps. I had like a platform walker with an AFO on my left leg
cares,
and like a pillowcase wrapped around it.
Who cares?
So,
or steps.
Yeah. And then, you know, it just like everything after that is history. I went from platform walker to regular walker to no AFO needed. By the time I was out there, I was taking, you know, I could walk 100 steps. I was going upstairs. She was the catalyst that sort of catapulted me into where I am today. And then leaving NRH, I stepped into outpatient,
mm-hmm.
where I also had one of the best physical therapists in the world. You know, I was just blessed with awesome physical therapists. I mean, not everybody has that experience, but maybe that's why I like PTs so much. It's like... I literally cannot complain about anything regarding rehabilitation that I went through. I mean, it fucking sucked, but I had great physical therapists to sort of...
If it's going to fucking suck, you want someone great there with you.
Exactly.
You know, misery loves company. If it's going to suck with someone who's awesome.
Mm-hmm. They had all the right tools to be a physical therapist. They're empathetic, but then again, they didn't take your bullshit. They were like, shut up. I don't give a shit if you have a UTI. You're fucking doing these squats right now, all right? And I did. And they pushed me. And I worked hard. Both of my physical therapists actually went to my high school graduation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when I was in the hospital and I couldn't move my legs. Well, I could move them a little bit. When I first got to NRH, I said to Lauren, she said, what are your goals? And I said, I want to walk across the stage at my graduation. And this was... 9 months before I'd be walking, before I'd be graduating. I said, I want to walk across the stage at my graduation. And she said, let's get to it. Both my physical therapists showed up that day.
Wow, that's cool.
And I walked across that stage with a walker and down the steps and got a standing ovation. And that was like, there you go again, another core memory.
Yeah.
That was a memory I'll never forget. And then again, Katie.
That's the outpatient?
Outpatient therapist, yeah. Katie Seward.
Okay.
She really... That's another thing about physical therapists that makes a good physical therapist is they personalize your training and your physical therapy, right? So I'm a baseball player. I love playing baseball. I love watching baseball. I wanted to play again. I want to throw. I love playing catch, you know? So me and Katie, after our sessions, after the session's over, she's done. She's not getting paid anymore. She's just being a good person. We played catch in the parallel bars. Nice. At the end of her day, when she could be walking home, getting right. home early, going to watch, I don't know, Downton Abbey or something, and she's playing catch with me in the parallel bars. So both of my therapists were really in tune with my goals, and they asked me, what do you want to be able to do? What are your goals? Where do you want to be? And I let them know, and they worked with me on it. So then I started working with David while doing outpatient.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stopped doing outpatient. Worked just with David.
And what kind of things were you guys doing?
My parents set up a workout room in our house, right in the side of the house, where we had like a workout bench, mats on the floor, treadmill, recumbent bike, weights, you know, everything, BOSU ball, stuff like that. I couldn't tell you the exact exercises we did. I don't really remember it, but you know, we worked hard. You know, we did hour and a half, hour long sessions. Couple times a week. And a big thing that David kind of pushed is kind of got out of my comfort zone, you know, with these exercises.
And out of his.
Yeah.
As you said, out of his. He went into this saying, it's just me working out with another baseball player and I want to be a PT in a couple of years, but out of his comfort zone, because we don't take neuro, we don't take the class that actually teaches us exactly what to expect until our third year in
PT
school.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's our third year. That's the tough one in the last year.
Okay. But yeah, I'd be walking through the kitchen with 20-pound dumbbells in each hand. And this is like a year after my injury.
Yeah.
I'm walking at a snail's pace, but I'm freaking walking. Circling the kitchen. I'm holding 40 pounds. I don't know why we ever did. That's not safe. Don't do that. Yeah.
Did you have a gait belt on?
No.
We'll edit this out. You should.
No.
We'll edit that out.
We were on like tile floors. it was... But yeah, just like my last two physical therapists, he knew where I wanted to be, what I wanted to do, and he pushed me to get there. You know, I like to say that I'm a really driven person. I try to set goals for myself, and I try to accomplish them to as best as I can. But it really takes other people in your life to push you to achieve those goals. You know, people can find inspiration in themselves and be driven as much as they want, but at a certain point, you need other people in your life to lean on and to support you and to encourage you to
kick you in the ass a little bit and say, not take your bullshit, like you said.
Yeah, that's what they did. That's what my physical therapist did. That's what my parents did. That's what my friends did. Here I am today, you know, one crutch, walking around, walking around campus, walking to work, going into work, baseball games, you name it.
Yeah, I wanted to paint the picture now. I really wanted, you know, you had said you were in a wheelchair 95% of the time. When was that, when David first started working with you?
Yeah.
And 90, now, you know, David's doing his last clinical rotation in Colorado. I'm still in Virginia, where we, you know, used to share a townhouse. And we just met, you know, an hour and a half ago. You walked in with one crutch, one loft strand crutch.
Drove here.
Drove here yourself. And that's a big difference. I have to say, if your presentation was given to us on a test in our neuro rehab class, and we were to have written out, well, I bet you I could progress the patient to where you are now. So if we had painted your picture on an essay, we wouldn't have passed that.
No.
We wouldn't have gotten a good grade on that test because that wouldn't have been typical.
Nowadays, I work at the George Mason Rehab Science Program.
And what are you doing with that? That's kind of a cool program. Talk about that a little.
The chair of the department, his name is Dr. Guccione, Dr. Andrew Guccione.
Good guy.
He was saying that back in the day, 60s, 70s, we look up in a book, C4, C5, give him a wheelchair, show him how to use his arms, how to wipe his ass, how to put his shirt on, send him out. You know, they wouldn't even bother with trying to get some motion out of his legs, trying to do some E-stim, nothing like that. You know, it's a frontier that is really being explored in the neural world these days, like it's never been before. Yeah.
We like to think we know a lot. We think that their frontiers have been conquered and there's, you know, nothing's left to explore. Mm-hmm. And then there's an organization within the physical therapy community, Foundation for Physical Therapy. They raise money to just fund PT research. And when you have research like that, and Andrew Guccione, who works for the PhD program out at George Mason, they know. Researching stuff like this is really important.
Yeah.
It's not important for the field. It's important to people like you because now that we know that, now we know that stories like yours are possible, there are PTs all across the world hearing stories like this, and they're going to say, I'm going to push that guy. I'm going to push that girl. We're going to get them walking again.
Exactly. Dr. Guccione always like to say, when you're an undergrad student, you think you know everything. When you're a graduate student, you realize you don't know everything. And when you're a PhD student, you realize you know nothing.
Yeah, I can vouch for that as a DPT student. You know, you know so much, and the more you learn, every time I learn one new thing, I realize there's 10 things I now need to go learn.
Yeah, that's why I have no interest in getting a PhD.
Follow us on Twitter at PT Pintcast and online at ptpintcast.com. It's like TMZ, except with way more important information. And no Miley Cyrus. Okay, it's not like TMZ at all.
Spring is in the air. It's the season for growth and new experiences in your physical therapy career. Explore the country with healthcare staffing agency Aureus Medical Group. You'll find rewarding travel and full-time career opportunities nationwide. Know a PT? Make a referral and earn up to $1,000. To speak with a recruiter, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit aureusmedical.com. That's A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com.
Rocktape, more than just a tape company. Rocktape keeps athletes of all levels moving stronger, longer.
With the world's best kinesiology tape,
topical pain relief,
mobility equipment,
and protective gear.
And now physical therapists can get 20% off their first purchase right now at shop.rocktape.com.
Just use the code PTPINECAST at checkout to get 20% off.
That's shop.rocktape.com.
With the code PTPINECAST for killer savings of 20% off.
Rocktape, the world's best kinesiology tape.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now. Well, what do you have an interest in? You're doing the government stuff, working for the State Department. So we'll veer away from your story in PT now, because now you're sitting here in the backyard doing an internship in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
You're commuting there.
I'm working at the State Department, Conventional Arms Threat Reduction.
Okay, that sounds serious.
It sounds real serious, but it's a lot more boring than it sounds. You know, typical...
It's not Jason Bourne?
No.
Come on.
No, I'm not...
Where's Jason... What floor is Jason Bourne on?
I think he's on the roof somewhere, jumping from roof to roof, you know? It's typical intern work. I learn a lot. I get to go to see, like, different negotiations between delegations from different countries coming in.
That's cool.
I get to go to different meetings where they're talking about really cool information. You're getting coffee, you're doing stuff like that. You're basically the grunt works.
As an intern, when I was an intern as a communications major, I walked Eminem from the front door to the green room of the Howard Stern Show. Have you hung with Eminem yet?
No.
That'll be in the second half of your internship.
Yeah.
Maybe different.
Eminem? Oh my God.
We'll tell that story on a later show, but that was my second day at K-Rock.
Was he cool?
Totally cool.
Totally cool?
Very, very. And his two...
He wasn't a dick?
No, his two gigantic bodyguards, also very cool.
Really?
I'll tell that story in a later episode.
Okay.
So now you're out there. You're a college student.
Yeah.
Go to George Mason. Now, I know you work with a program out there in George Mason. Was that because you were a student, or did you become a student because you were kind of tied to George Mason?
That's a story where what I kind of learned out of it is, once again, you got to step out of your comfort zone. You got to push yourself. You got to find things. You got to have the want and the drive to get better. Luckily, I had my parents that really drove me to do that, and they looked this stuff up. When I first got out of the hospital, this program was non-existent. We spoke with Dr. Groh, who is a doctor at Dr. Susan Groh, who is a doctor at NRH. She's in charge of research. She said, "Hey, I know this guy at George Mason, Dr. Guccione, who has this rehab science program. I don't know, maybe he wants to do something, I don't know." So I was like, yeah, let's freaking do it, let's do something. So we talked with him. They had no idea what was going on, you know, they had no program set out.
They're just starting this thing.
They weren't even starting anything.
Wow.
They were like, yeah, we got this rehab science program, but we don't have like any research part to it. You know, we're not like studying patients or working out with patients or anything. We don't even know what we want to do. So we went up to him, we spoke with him, and he was like, "Oh yeah, we'll probably, you know, have him come in a couple times, see what we can do, help him out, blah, blah, blah." But then they realized how fucking cool I am.
Obviously.
And they were like, "We could do more here. We could come up with more. We could create a program that can help a lot of people out of this." The question that Dr. Guccione posed to his PhD students was, a lot of them have backgrounds in performance training and weightlifting and like football and exercise and a lot of different backgrounds, and a couple physical therapy students.
Right.
So the question he posed to them was, if you were training someone for an event and the event was walking, what would the program look like? Right? Because they train professional athletes, they train college athletes, they work with them and they teach them how to run the 40-yard dash, how to do the pole vault, you know, stuff like that. But what if that event that you were training for was walking?
Right.
So they break it down, you know? Break it down into groundwork, ladder drills, wall drills, squats, crossover stepping, you know, all sorts of stuff that sort of builds on each other to prepare yourself for the event of walking.
So were you the research subject of this program?
They didn't even have a program, and I was the guinea pig.
They had the guinea pig before they had the cage and the wheel.
Exactly.
Okay.
I didn't know this at the time. I thought they had this whole program. I thought they had the whole thing solved, the whole thing settled out. They were ready to roll. Of course, a couple years later, they're like, "Yeah, we had no fucking clue what we were doing." But they ended up doing an awesome job, and I... lifelong friends out of this program. Dr. Guccione's an awesome dude.
So it's called the Patriot Performance Project. So you're the project.
Yeah.
You're the performance.
Mm-hmm.
You're it. You're the first one. Were there other subjects too?
So I was the first one, and that was a little over 2 years ago. And now there's 8 subjects.
Similar conditions or vastly different?
All spinal cord injury and all some sort of mobility and walking in all at least 1 year from their injury. So all of these guys can at least stand on their own.
Okay.
Which is, if you know about high level spinal cord injuries, pretty rare and hard to find. But there's 8 participants in the program now. It's been going on for 2 years. They want to grow it even more. They want to take it to a new level. They want to expand it to other locations. They want to help and to bring in as many people as they can, and to show the research and sort of make George Mason University proud, which George Mason University has become one of the greatest research universities in the country.
I'm going to have our researchers, Rachel and Molly, put up a link so people can check this program out and check out what is going on over at George Mason.
I'll tell you what, if you are a physical therapist and you have any interest in getting your PhD, this is an awesome program to become part of. It's a small program. They probably have 15 students. There's students from all over the place. There's students from Saudi Arabia, India, Ireland, Michigan, which is basically another country. It's really drawn in an eclectic group of people that really creates a thriving intellectual environment.
It'd be one thing if we had Dr. Guccione on here talking about his program. It'd be another thing if we had a student talking about how great it is. But to have somebody who's gone through it, that's the best endorsement a program can have. Someone who's gone through the program and loved it that much, they're gonna ring the bell for it.
Yeah. Once again, it's just me being spoiled and blessed by great people. And Dr. Guccione, he used to be part of APTA. Mm-hmm. He was a delegate this year in the next conference. Yep. He had some position within the APTA for a while before he became a professor at George Mason. He sort of introduced me to the APTA, and that's
now
kind
we
of
know how you did the speech.
That's
okay.
Kind of how I got into the speech. But the main reason how I got into the speech was when I received my victory award.
Which is what? Because I'd never heard of that before.
Okay, so it's the NRH National Rehab Hospital Gala Victory Award. I think the direct quote is, it's an award for courage and strength in something else in the face of physical adversity.
So it's given by NRH, National Rehab Hospital.
Given by the,
in DC.
By NRH. It's given by MedStar. NRH is part of MedStar, but MedStar is like the organization.
Correct.
That
okay, yes, you got it.
Runs NRH. And this award, I mean, not to toot my own horn, but it's a pretty prestigious award. I looked at past recipients, and it's like one of the Kennedys,
wow.
Sandy Koufax, Bob Dole.
Holy shit.
The guy that won it last year was R.J. Mitty. Have you ever seen Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
You know the guy with
Walter White's
son?
Walter's son, yeah.
He received it last year.
Wow, dude.
I went to the Gala Awards this past year when he received it. Awesome dude.
Wow.
Coolest guy ever. Yeah. So, I mean, you can look it up. There's a huge list of
Sandy Koufax?
Sandy Koufax, yeah.
That's
badass. I'm pretty sure it's Sandy Koufax. Yeah.
We'll go with it.
Yeah.
Pretty solid list.
Bob Dole.
Do you use this as a pickup line? Because I would.
No.
You should try.
I mean, you're a physical therapist and you never even heard of it. How's some chick going to know about it?
You'll tell her. I'm on a list with Sandy Koufax.
What am I going to pull up, like, the ABC
article? I got nothing going for me. I would definitely walk around with that. If I had that, I would go. But that's cool. That's a great honor.
So you're saying I got nothing going for me.
No, I'm saying I got nothing going for me.
Oh, okay, man. Okay.
So you get that award, and then how does that lead to, you know, is it Guccione kind of, you know?
So a couple people from the APTA were at the award ceremony. And I'd had a couple big speaking events, but it was like to elementary, like a group of like 500 or 600 elementary schoolers. And
still
then
a
like
big deal.
Middle,
touch their life.
Then like to my high school. And then this was like my first big speaking event where it was like 500, 600 people.
Black tie
event. Nice. You know, it was a big fundraiser for NRH. Mm-hmm. I gave a speech. It was about 10 minutes long, and I think people really liked it, and obviously APTA liked it, and that's how they were like, hey, let's, because every year the APTA at the next conference, they sort of have famous keynote speakers, you know, like they had
big names. Yeah.
Yeah. They had like Terry Bradshaw a couple years ago.
Mark Kelly.
They had Billie Jean King last year.
Big names.
And this year they were like, it's funny, the guy who hosts the show was like, yeah, we had all these famous people, and this year we want someone who's not famous. And I was like, yeah, thanks, man. So, yeah, they really wanted to sort of highlight the patient's story.
That's why we do it.
Yeah.
The patient.
I feel like I was the perfect person to tell you,
tell
them how important the role is, how essential they are to people who come to them like me.
Yeah, we talked a little before the microphone turned on, and I was just kind of giving you the rundown of people who'd been on the show, and we've had a bunch of physical therapists, big names in physical therapy. But what I wanted to highlight to some people was our patient stories. We had a kid with locked-in syndrome. We had Peter Dupria, tetraplegic, who completed the Ironman. You know, we have Michael Kacer, Invictus athlete with one arm, who's destroying records all over the place. I think it's a great reminder of why, you know, especially as a student, I'm just wrapping up school now, I got about a month left, why we suffer for a couple years, why we go into debt, why we learn all this stuff, and why we go out there in the field. We go into school with this idea of who we want to help, but it is a good reminder along the way in school, and I'm going to bet you while we're still out in clinic to make sure you hear those stories.
Yeah.
And you see those faces of your patients, and you say, wow, we as an entire field of physical therapists, we get into people's lives, and we change it.
I stayed at the hotel where the event was for 2 extra days after I gave my speech, and a 10-minute walk to go get something to eat turned into a 30-minute walk with just people stopping me
paparazzi.
And saying, Nick, thank you so much for your story. Stories like yours are the reason why we do what we do. You really reminded me of so many patients that I've had that I cherish so much. Stuff like that, you know, and that was the exact goal of my speech. You know, Dr. Guccione said, if you don't make anyone cry, you've failed. And the tears were flowing from what people told me. The tears were flowing, and I tried to mix some humor in there and whatnot. So I wanted people to know how important their job is. And there was a lot of students there
A lot of Marymount students who came back and talked to me about your story. And that's when I, you know, I'd already told, once I found out you were going to be the keynote speaker before Next, I told David, yo, you got to hook me up with Nick. And then our first year students came back from Next pumped. And they told me your story. A couple of them told me your story. And like, you got to talk to this guy. I'm like, I got it lined up. Don't worry. Yeah. But I know that that's a big deal.
And I didn't even know that there was going to be students there. I wish I had talked more about David and what, and like, sort of our relationship and how he really sort of stepped out of his comfort zone and did what more than what was expected of him or what he probably was able to do. But I wish I had expanded upon that more because the students were there and I kind of wanted to impart that knowledge of, you know, step out of your comfort zone, you know, do something that you're not comfortable with doing.
Yeah.
But having the students there and sort of giving them a view of how their work in the future, the profession they're getting into, can really affect someone's life, and you can really create bonds and relationships that will last a lifetime. And it's really important to me that they know that.
Yeah. What's it like just being up in front of a room, darkened room, you're wearing the suit, all eyes are on you. What's that feel like?
I'll tell you something that I haven't told many people. I was backstage, and I wasn't sure if I had to piss my pants, shit my pants, or throw up.
Or
might have been all three. Yeah, there you go.
Because that's a big moment.
Yeah. Once I got out there, and I got that first laugh, and I got that first line.
And you know you got them in your palm.
Yeah.
You got them.
And I was like, these are my people. I love physical therapists. This is what I came here to do. This is what I was meant to do. I just sort of took it on from there, and I was going ad lib, and I was making jokes.
Wow, you going off script?
Oh, yeah.
Bold. I like that move.
Oh, I was going off script left.
Good. Like, good. I like that.
A good portion of it was off script.
TV, that's all script. Radio, where I come from, no script. Just go.
Yeah. I was making fun of my parents, making fun of my brother. So my brother was sitting in the front row. And for some reason, no one sat next to him. It was just him in the very front row and no one in the rest of the row. And I was like, dude, what's going on over here? My brother must have some BO or something.
Little brother, big brother?
Big brother.
Sure, he loved that. Because I'm sure he gave you some shit when you guys were little.
Yeah.
Always a little picking on, but you got back at him. That's nice.
No, we're close now. We're good friends, so.
That's cool. The family was there to support it and be there and listen to that.
Yeah, my brother was there.
That's awesome.
Yep.
That's cool.
APTA flew both of us out and put us up in a room, and very generous organization. I'm very, very happy to have met a lot of the people that work there. They have a great organization. All of the people that I met were super friendly, super kind, super supportive of me being, you know, not an expert in giving speeches, but, you know, they really made the process go really smoothly. I'm really grateful to them, so.
Yeah, I mean, the people at the APTA, I know just because I've talked to a couple of them, and I kind of clued a couple of them, and I was talking to you. And they said, what are you going to talk about? I said, I'm going to turn the microphone on. I'm going to say, tell me your story. Yeah. And that's really what they wanted to do when they said, be our keynote speaker here at Next. Tell us your story, because your story is essentially why we meet several times a year, why we go to Con Ed classes, and why we become physical therapists. That's pretty much the reason right there in one story is yours. Yeah. And that story has changed from every single patient.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the story why we do this.
I tried to tell my story, but I tried to share what I had learned throughout my journey. You know, I wanted to impart the importance of what physical therapists do. I wanted to impart what I learned And I wanted to teach people that we're so much stronger than we think we are. You know, you really don't realize how strong you are until you're faced with something that didn't think you'd be able to overcome. But, you know, you have no idea what you can overcome as a human being, as a brother, as a husband, as a wife, it really takes a lot of adversity to bring out the best in us. Yeah. And that's what happened with me. That's what happened with my physical therapist. That's what happened with David. That's what happened with Dr. Guccione and the PhD students. They had no clue what they were doing and they freaking killed the game. And now their program is getting papers published. And it's really about pushing yourself, not accepting the circumstances that you're put in. I was told I'd never walk again. I gave the doctor the big middle finger and I was like, watch me, bitch. You know,
that's awesome.
Don't listen to doctors. Well, actually, scratch that. Listen to doctors, but when someone tells you you can't do something, say, fuck you.
And find a physical therapist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So where are we going now? Now we're sitting in my backyard, and we're telling your story, and we're going to release this episode, and it's going to go, you know, across the world. You're doing an internship now. You're you're low man on a totem pole at the State Department.
Yeah.
But that's great, because, I mean, look where you are. Look what you're doing and where you've come from. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next for you?
I really enjoyed giving that speech. I think there is some sort of future for me in inspirational or motivational speaking. You know, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed traveling. I enjoyed seeing different places.
Yeah.
I enjoy sharing my story, letting people know how strong they can be, what they can accomplish when they think they can't accomplish whatever is in front of them.
We need those reminders.
Yeah.
We need those.
Yeah, and that's why Malcolm Gladwell makes $85,000 a speech, because people that have been through stuff and have knowledge on these things are sources of information to really inspire people, you know. Yeah. And that's what I wanted. I'm not in it for the money. I mean, it's nice, but
it ain't bad.
I really want to share my story, and maybe if I can touch someone and encourage them to do something that they didn't think they could do, bonus.
Yeah.
Right there.
Well, I'll tell you this. I saw the traffic on Twitter during and after your speech. PT is a big community, but it's not. It's kind of a small little world. So I was watching all of the reactions to it. And of course, I'm watching from some of the Marymount University students who were there. And if your goal was to touch, you know, one person or two or 100, trust me, man, you crushed it.
Thank you. So I'm going to be a senior at George Mason. You know, I'm going to have to be an adult pretty soon.
You're going to have to adult. Yeah, it's going to come up soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks.
Every time I think of that, I think of Step Brothers, where he's sitting with his psychiatrist, and he's like, what do I do? Do I put the clothes in the washing machine?
Where do I put my hands?
Yeah.
What about inclement weather?
Do I put my... What did he say? He's like, do I put my clothes in the dishwasher? How do I be an adult?
Listen, Dr. Angel Face.
Dr. Angel Face.
What do I do? When we wrap up every episode, which is The Pint, we do parting shots.
This is The Parting Shot.
Powered by Optum. Optum offers weekend courses that are Monday morning applicable, utilizing approaches that make sense.
They promote excellence in hands-on treatment, exercise prescription, pain science, and clinical reasoning, offering a COMT,
as well as an APTA-accredited fellowship in orthopedic manual therapy, both online and in-person mentoring, with locations in Houston, Dallas, and Scottsdale, Arizona. Find out more online
at optumfellowship.com.
Now, you've already kind of given us a bunch of parting shots of wisdom.
Yeah.
Step out of your comfort zone is one that I will definitely take away.
Yeah.
But if you're going to talk to an audience of physical therapists, like you've already done, being the keynote speaker, what's one piece of advice you leave PTs with to take with us into our careers?
You know, if I just was speaking to PT students, I would let them know the light at the end of the tunnel, because all I hear is them bitch about how hard PT school is, and I'm sure it's freaking hard.
Sucks, man.
Yeah. So, but but what I would let them know is that you have no idea. You think PT is a really underappreciated profession, I feel.
Thank you.
It's a very underappreciated profession. You go to some random dude off the street and you're like, hey, what's a physical therapist? And he's like,
no idea.
Maybe he like massages your legs and stretches your back or something. Like,
unfortunately, I think you're right.
Yeah, no, people don't know, and that's a problem. You know, people don't know that. No, you don't have to take OxyContin and Tramadol. You can go to PT and do a couple freaking exercises a week. It'll have the same effect, if not better, you know?
Hashtag choose PT.
Hashtag choose PT.
I'm going to throw that in there.
So if I was speaking to physical therapists, I would just let them know that they're sort of unsung heroes. What I want them to know is that they're truly appreciated by the people that they affect. The key to being a good physical therapist, you mentioned this earlier, right, how you wanted to know how to be a good physical therapist.
Because you as a patient have the best viewpoint.
Yeah. I mentioned earlier how Dr. Guccione said that back in the 60s and 70s, they had a book. You would go, you'd look up the injury of the person. Under it, there would be 10 to 15 exercises, the prognosis.
If you have X, do Y.
Yeah. I would say, fuck the book. And write your own script. Physical therapy is so personal, and that's what physical therapists need to do. They need to make it personal. They need to talk to their patients. They need to say, hey, what's your goal? Hey, where do you want to be in 5 years, 6 months, 1 year? And really have empathy for their patients, but don't let that empathy get to their head, you know? Don't feel sorry for them. Put yourself in their shoes, but push them to get out of their comfort zone.
I like that. Fuck the book.
Fuck the book.
Fuck the book. That's perfect. And that, just so you know, that's how we're taught. I know at Marymount University, I can attest to that. A phrase we hear a lot, treat what you see, but also push your patience. And you can come up with the next thing that can help your patient or other patients around the world. So I like that. Fuck the book. Killer way to end a hell of an episode, my man.
Great.
Appreciate you coming out. Appreciate you telling the story.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Awesome.
Thanks for the lemonade.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO, Jimmy McKay, and CBO, Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.